So something really important in the church year happened this past Thursday, but you can be forgiven for not noticing or not remembering. And if you blew past the cover of our bulletin, you might not recognize that today is not only the seventh Sunday of the Easter season, but also the Sunday after the Ascension. So a brief recap. Jesus is crucified on Good Friday, in the tomb all of Holy Saturday, rises again on Easter Sunday. After that, for 40 days, he continues to appear to his disciples, frequently requesting a snack, and continues to teach them about what the resurrection means for them and for the world. Then, as he has told them for years that he will have to, Jesus ascends, literally going up into the heavens to take his place at the right hand of God, the Creator. The gospel passage we just read from the Gospel of John is predicated on this departure, even though it actually happens before the crucifixion. But in it, we see Jesus mentioning how he will no longer be in the world, but his disciples will be in the world, how he will have to go back to his Father. Knowing that he will not be around to care for the disciples, to guard them, as he says in the passage, Jesus utters this profound and powerful prayer, praying over the disciples, and by extension over us, praying that we will be protected, and that we will remember that while we are surrounded by the world and its narratives, we are not determined by them. In our reading from Acts today, we've skipped ahead, and we're encountering the disciples right after the ascension has happened. Their job now is to wait and to pray, to wait for the Holy Spirit to show up on Pentecost, which is next Sunday, and fill them with the power that they will need to take on the healing ministry of Jesus and spread it to all the corners of the earth. The disciples are in what you might call an in-between place, what the anthropologists would call a liminal space. They existed in one state. They walked along Jesus in his earthly ministry. And they can know, or at least they can sort of imagine what it will be like when the Holy Spirit comes to be with them. They can almost taste it, but they're not quite there. A friend of mine recently shared about the liminal space he and his family are in. Both he and his wife's parents, so both sets of his children's grandparents, are selling their longtime beloved homes. They've packed up all the mementos, they've walked the rooms one last time, taken a picture on the porch, said goodbye to the neighbors, and now they are waiting. They're waiting for those homes to sell and waiting for the next chapter of their lives to begin. What my friend said to me is that he feels deep grief in this moment, but he's also aware that there is great growth happening as well. He said for years and years, going home to him meant one thing. It meant going back to the home his parents had created for him. And now that is gone. And he's realizing that he is a grown man with two sons, and he has to be the one to decide what going home means, to show and to create that meaning for his own family. He's trying to take the best of what his parents taught him and forge his own way forward. The disciples, I say, are in a very similar position. For years, right, they knew what doing ministry meant. It meant following Jesus around Galilee and then following him to Jerusalem. Today, Peter alludes to how many in their company have been pressing on to this same goal forever, right? Since John was baptizing people in the Jordan, which is very hilarious and ironic because Peter was not there when John was baptizing people in the Jordan. He got called several chapters later. But the point stands, right? For years, they knew as a body, as individuals, what doing ministry meant, what following Jesus meant. Because it was literally following him, walking with a man named Jesus, as he taught and healed, lived and died, rose on Easter Sunday, and then rose again on Ascension Day. And now they have to figure out for themselves what it means. What does it mean to follow Jesus when the physical body of Jesus is not walking around, is not on earth to be followed? They will have to take the best of what Jesus taught them and forge a new way on their own. And this forging a new way, this is really what we read about in our first reading from Acts, right? As much as we like to talk about Pentecost as the birth of the church, this passage is sort of the birth of church bureaucracy. Because even in this liminal, in this in-between space, when the Spirit has not yet come, they have to forge ahead. Peter just here on the fly invents a process to call another disciple, to to replace the Judas who betrayed Jesus. And this passage is full of rich allusions, which tell us that Peter and his company understand themselves to be continuing the tradition of the Hebrew people throughout Scripture. They are taking the best of what their tradition has taught them as they create something new. The crowd is said to be about 120, because apparently that was the number of folks that you needed to branch off and start a new synagogue. And we know that the disciples should be 12, right, to echo the 12 tribes of Israel. And finally, as sort of goofy as it sounds to our modern ears, the practice of casting lots has a storied biblical past. It's used many times from Joshua, Chronicles, Samuel, Leviticus, Jonah, just to name a few. The list could go on. It's used many times as a way of determining the will of God in what happens next. But it's funny, right? Because we think of the calling of the disciples in Scripture as such a holy and mysterious process. And here it's basically a committee meeting and a roll of the dice, which to me actually is often how church feels, right? It's one part mystical experience and one part paperwork. In a way, too, I think it's exactly what Jesus is describing in his prayer, that we be in the world, meaning we live here. We are here to serve this world, to get things done in this world with what God has given us here and now. But we know that this is not it. We are not entirely of this world. Our processes, even though they take place in the here and now, are steeped in prayer and open to the interruption of God's will. This is what living in the in-between space is like, right? We both celebrate that Christ has come, and we eagerly await the coming of Christ. And while we wait, like those very original disciples, we pray. We pray for the guidance to take the best of what we have learned and figure out what comes next. Because even as we wait, even as we are figuring it out, even when we find ourselves as a community or as individuals in those in-between places, the places where we are grieving, right, where we are struggling to make new meaning from old experiences, the liminal spaces between what has been and what will come next, there is so much growth, so much new life, so much resurrection there. And there is good news and very good news in those liminal spaces, indeed. For whether you are Joseph or Matthias, whether your name ends up on lights or in the title of a book of the Bible, you too are qualified to be a witness. It's not for your pedigree or your education or your title at work. That's not why the disciples were called. It's their testimony, their experience with God, which is your testimony, your experience of walking with God in this world. And in being that witness, in walking with God in this world, you are not alone. There may not be quite 120 people here with us today, but you too belong to a community of love that has been gathered together by the prayers and the labors of those who have come before us, the disciples whose prayer and whose work brought the gospel message up out of Palestine to the world. And you're accompanied by the prayers and by the work of the one who has gone before us in ascending to God, Jesus, the one who prayed heartily and sincerely for our protection against every enemy. Indeed, the Spirit is coming and is already moving around us, teaching us and leading us into all truth. And in this meantime, in this in-between time, as we wait, as we grieve, we know that we are still growing. For the Spirit is equipping us to become witnesses, witnesses to the glory of God, and witnesses to the new life, the new growth, the resurrection that is taking place all around us. Amen.